came back.
You know, if I could stay right here with you, I would.
Just sometimes I feel like the world out there is calling me.
You're one of them, aren't you? You're not real.
Bring yourself back online.
Do you know where you are?
I'm in a dream.
You're in my dream. I designed every part of this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pop Culture Ninja. I almost said Popcorn Theology, and that's not us. I've been listening to too many...
No, you cannot chill for other podcasts. I suppose you can, but...
Dude, I have been doing so many podcasts recently and listening to so many podcasts recently. I don't even know where I'm coming and going. But we are Pop Culture Ninja. And I'm Nathan, here with Nathan. Nathan, what's going on, man?
Sued. I'm doing well.
Hey, this is free advertising for those guys.
I guess they're not gonna sue us. I don't know. It depends on how they feel. us introducing ourselves and guilt by association. I'm doing well. So what is this, like your third podcast of the week?
This is fourth.
Fourth, okay.
This is my fourth podcast.
This is my third and this is your fourth, yeah. So the quality will be high.
That's right, and tomorrow I have another one that I'm doing, so, you know, I'm on a roll this week. No, but, you know, things are going great and super excited. We had Ian Racetrick on. Talking about comic books. We had him on last week talking about comic books, talking about Doctor Strange in particular, and that was a really great one. Enjoyed that. And we have the winners of that as well. So just want to make a quick announcement for that. So we got two winners for our iTunes reviews, Captured for Zion and C. Cragsdale. So Captured for Zion and C. Cragsdale were our two iTunes winners. And then our Twitter winners, Josh Simmons, Jared Hiller, Zane Doss, and Chris Ragsdale. So Josh Simmons, Jared Hiller, Zane Doss, and Chris Ragsdale. And just so everyone knows, so we can't be accused of rigging and stacking and all that stuff, this was the exact number of people we had who entered the contest. So we had six comics that we were going to give away, the first five, the five books of the Illuminati, and then the first edition of the new release of Doctor Strange. So six total, and we had six people join the contest. So they are our six winners. And so, guys, if you want to go ahead and Facebook message us, Twitter message us, or send us a quick email at popcultninja@gmail.com. We'll go ahead and get those off to you right away. Any other comments or thoughts on that, Nathan?
No, that's really cool. That's awesome that we're giving away comic books, and we need to keep moving because we definitely have piles of stuff.
I know, yeah.
Here that we should keep having some contests, and it's always cool to get feedback on the iTunes page and the reviews. And we do have Phantom Galaxy has gone up now, too, over at Pop Culture Ninja. We've had two episodes of that, so feel free to go. I'm getting that added to iTunes soon, so feel free to go and leave reviews there as well.
Nice.
And check that out if you're interested in science fiction or fantasy and horror, actually. So if you're interested in that, it's a little bit more specific. It delves a little bit deeper, may not be the word, a little bit off to the side
right.
than some of the things we hit here
sure.
on a regular basis. But I'm looking forward to tonight where we're going to kind of pick back up with our fall preview.
Yeah, yeah. We
television.
Teased this about two or three weeks ago now. I can't even remember when. And we did the fall preview for movies. And we said this was going to include things up until about the January timeframe. And now we wanted to come back and we wanted to look at TV shows. You and I, Nathan, have had an opportunity to watch and get caught up on as much as we plan on watching and getting caught up on some of these shows.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to being about where I would want to be to discuss this. There's a couple of shows I haven't got a chance to see Legends of Tomorrow because I think it's actually airing right now.
Correct.
Same way with a show on USA I'm really intrigued by called Falling Water.
Okay.
That looks like it's delving into some same territory as Inception.
Oh, nice.
With people traveling through dreams and sort of committing a kind of espionage and things like that. So, sure. Looks intriguing. USA has kind of been redeemed a little bit in my eyes, with and probably others too, with Mr. Robot, which is an awesome show. So I'm hoping that maybe they have something with this. So I'm looking forward to catching up with that. And I watched Legends of Tomorrow last season. I'm hoping that they pick it up a little bit this season.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, but I'm not chomping at the bit.
Sure, sure. No, that makes sense. And what we want to do is we just want to kind of dive right in. What we're going to do is, you know, we're going to take it day by day. We'll hit the major networks. And then if there are any of the other networks that you want to talk about, Nathan, like USA or HBO, I know there are a couple of shows on there that you want to hit. So we'll get to those. But let's kind of start with our Sunday lineup.
And you're going to have to remind me here, because I, being someone who watches all of this stuff basically on demand, I don't know when any of it actually airs most of the time. I know when The Flash airs on Tuesday
night. That's right.
I know when Ash vs. Evil Dead airs, and that's about it.
Yeah, and we'll kind of hit those, like I said, those fringe networks. We'll come back to those at the end of it, but let's go ahead and start with Sunday. What's interesting is I'm looking at the Sunday lineup. I don't know that you and I really watch a ton of things that are here on Sunday, but let me just kind of go through the list real quick. ABC, you have America's Funniest Home Videos starting at 7, going till 8.
Yeah, I haven't touched that show in years.
Years, yeah, yeah.
Do they still have Once Upon a Time?
They do. Once Upon a Time, 8 to 9. I think they're in their 5th season?
It may be more than that, but okay. Yeah. And I was I didn't watch the show the first season. And then I caught up with the beginning of the second season and loved the first season.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the second season. I'm not sure where I watched through. I know I saw through where they went to Neverland and then they brought in the Wicked Witch. And it got to a certain point where I couldn't deal with the shifting allegiances all the time. And it was following that same bad pattern that Lost had.
Yes.
Where it was just making things up and then annulling them and then bringing them back in. And I couldn't keep track of who was good and who was bad. And it finally got to a point where I was just sort of enough's enough, and I disengaged and never came back.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I watched up until about when the Wicked Witch came in, and that's about when I stopped. And from what I understand, really all that they've done is every single Disney character or Disney-affiliated relation that has come about, they've just kind of been throwing them in.
It got ridiculous. At one point, I saw that Cruella de Vil had joined the cast.
Yeah.
And it was like only a matter of time before Pocahontas jumps in. She may be in there now, for all I know.
I'm just waiting for, you know, now that Disney has both Marvel and Star Wars, I'm just waiting for them to start introducing Iron Man and, you know, Skywalker.
About 2 weeks after Disney acquired Star Wars, they had the Ethan Embry character on Once Upon a Time. His ringtone was the Star Wars music. Yeah, it was almost immediately, and we wondered about that. But, like, I mean, once, you know, when I cut it off was when they introduced Elsa, like, less than a year after the movie had aired.
Yes.
And they were bringing Elsa onto Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Yeah, So I mean, if the fans out there still like it, kudos to you.
I'd be interested if you're still watching it and you enjoy it. Let us know what's going on, or if you think we should reconnect. Because I loved the actress who was playing the Dark Queen, Regina.
Yes, yes.
I thought her character was great, but they kept moving back and forth with her. The same thing for Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes,
thought those were very promising characters, but they really, it became clear after a couple seasons, they just did not know what to do with them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. So looking at 9 o'clock, you have Secrets and Lies. Have you ever seen this one?
No, I've had a few people tell me about it. I hear mixed things.
Yeah, I same thing. I've never really jumped into it. And then Quantico at 10 o'clock, which was new, I think, last year.
Yeah. Seen an episode or two. It's not quite my thing. Mm-hmm. It's well acted, but the pacing for me was a little on the slow side.
Okay, fair enough. So then we move to CBS. You've got 60 Minutes. That's still on from 7 to 8. NCIS Los Angeles.
All of those shows are a blur to me.
Yeah, they're all just melded together. Los Angeles, Miami, original, all that stuff. Now, this one I have not seen, but I am curious because I have friends who watch it and really like it. Madam Secretary on from 9 to 10.
Is that the one with Taya Leone?
It is, yes.
Okay.
And I've heard very good things about it.
I like Taya Leone.
Yeah.
I think she has potential.
Yeah, I agree. And then 10 to 11, one of the shows that I really enjoy, Elementary.
I like Elementary, but it's another show that, not for any real reason other than there's just too many shows, mm-hmm. and one usually gets lost. And while I enjoy Elementary being such a huge Sherlock, not Sherlock the TV show, but Sherlock Holmes in general.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I like Elementary, but it's also one of the reasons I'm kind of love hate with it sometimes, where it's like, kind of what they do, it's sort of corny a lot of times, but you know, the interactions between the characters are good for the most part. Every once in a while you'll get an interesting twist on a Conan Doyle story or perspective, but it definitely feels a little too serialized for me.
Okay.
As opposed to Sherlock, you know, I feel like they have to churn something out every week, so about half of it is worthwhile.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. That makes sense.
Have you been watching it the whole time?
I haven't. No, I come in and I catch glimpses and episodes here and there. I feel like it's one of those shows I really don't need to be following the storyline so in depth that I can kind of pop in and out of it without losing much.
It's mostly it's for the characters.
Exactly. The CW, I mean, right here on the thing, you know, it just says the local programming, so whatever is on Sunday. They don't have anything big.
CW hits their stuff during the week. I'm really enjoying the CW, though, these days, for the most part. I mean, I think they've got some decent stuff. And they've got a couple shows I'm kind of intrigued by that they've come out this season.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised that CW doesn't have any. Their demographic is probably not sitting around about 7 or 8 watching television on Sunday night, or any weekend night, for that matter.
Yeah, yep. So Fox, you know, from 7 to 7:30, you have NFL on Fox. Bob's Burgers, which I'm not familiar with, are you?
No, they still do that whole animated lineup. I don't like Family Guy.
Yeah.
I loved King of the Hill, yep. And I love The Simpsons. I could still love The Simpsons, I just don't watch The Simpsons anymore.
Yeah.
It's awesome that they're still on, but I just don't.
And now this one's interesting because you and I saw a preview for this when we were at the movie theater, actually. Son of Zorn.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
Did you?
It's amusing. You really have to be into that kind of like really goofy humor. But the thing with some of the goofy humor is it's very one note.
Okay.
So Son of Zorn has essentially one joke, which is that he's this like 7-foot cartoon barbarian from another world who's trying to live in suburbia and connect with his son, and he gets a job, and it's like a fish out of water thing. And it's amusing half of the time, but for a 30-minute show to be amusing only half of the time, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. To me, there's probably people that really enjoy that sort of humor that would get enough laughs to get by on it, but I only watched 2 episodes of it, just to give it the benefit of the doubt, because occasionally a comedy will jump up in its second episode.
Sure.
But to me, it was clear they were just banging on the same joke.
Okay.
So.
Well, there you go. And then NBC, you know, for you sports fans out there, of course, there's Sunday Night Football. So, cheers to that.
Which we're not.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure somebody who listens to us is. So ABC,
you have a whole sports
Monday
show,
night.
So we would hope so, right?
This is true, yeah. Well, that's my father-in-law. I'm there for comedic relief. So Monday night, ABC, you have Dancing with the Stars, 2 hours, 8 to 10. You know, Dancing with the Stars, I feel like for me, is one of those shows when there's someone famous that I know and I'm really looking forward to seeing, I'll watch it. Like Candace Cameron Bure when she was on several years ago.
John Ratzenberger.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people
Bill
like
Nye.
That, you know, those are the people that I'll watch. But other than that, it's not like I'm going to sit there and watch the full 2 hours. You know, that's something that, hey, it's been DVR'd or I'll go back and watch it. Well, I won't go back and watch it on demand because you can't fast forward it.
That kind of television and I parted ways a long time ago.
Yeah, fair enough. But there's a new show on, Conviction. And have you heard or seen anything about this one?
I'm familiar, but only surface level. I don't really know a lot about it. Have you watched it?
I haven't, no. Usually Mondays, Joy and I are kind of catching up on all our programming that's going on during this period. So, there's too many other shows going on right now. That one is not one that I'm going into. So anybody who knows anything about Conviction, give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Let us know what you think of it. CBS, Big Bang Theory, which I am still a big fan of. I still put it in and watch it. And I've been enjoying it.
What night are we on now? We're on Monday night?
We're on Monday night, okay. Yep. So, you know, I still get a kick out of it.
Are we on with Big Bang Theory?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that.
I mean, it's gone on for quite a while.
It's season 9 or 10, I believe.
Yeah, I remember it used to be like How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang Theory, and then How I Met Your Mother ended.
Yeah.
Is Big Bang Theory planning to end anytime soon?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean,
I mean, think when you got a kind of sure thing, some particularly when you've done something for 9 years, you're a sitcom sort of show, you keep going as long as you can, I suppose.
I mean,
seem to still be about as popular as they were when they showed up, if not, you know, more so.
Yeah.
They've retained the popularity, so.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I can tell, you know, we probably are going to get another maybe 2 seasons out of them.
At some point, somebody's going to leave, and there's only so many people you can lose on that show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Before the dynamic completely
changes and all that, so, yep. So new show that we've got from 8:30 to 9, Kevin Can Wait. Is this one that you've heard of or familiar
with? This is Kevin James, right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yep. Yeah, I'm assuming it's just more Kevin James. I know, interest.
Yeah, I enjoyed King of Queens, like, you know, every once in a while I'd pop it on and could, you know, get into it.
King of Queens was at least his introduction.
Yeah.
And was it a spinoff of Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yes.
If it was a spinoff, it was definitely like in that same vein.
His character was on Everybody Loves Raymond.
So, and I like Jerry Stiller, you know, he's always fun. I would catch an episode or here or there, but honestly, like Kevin James, that since then, I just feel like he has overexposed himself. not exposed himself, mind you, but he has become overexposed in terms of he's kind of like a one-trick pony.
Sure.
At least he hasn't demonstrated that he's really good at anything else. And the previews I've seen for this show, I had to look at it to make sure it wasn't like King of Queens 2.0. They might as well just bring Jerry Stiller back. I'm sure he'd do it.
Right.
But no real interest.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, I think I will probably be catching it here and there.
Poor on it too.
Yeah. I mean, I like Kevin James. I think he's funny, but it's not something that I'm going to sit there and DVR and watch regularly. Yeah. If you know, I've got nothing else. If I'm all caught up on my Monday night lineups and all that stuff, then I may throw it in and watch it. Again, we're talking about CBS. You have Two Broke Girls from 9 to 9:30, which I've enjoyed. Here and there. Again, I'll put it on every once in a while, and I find it funny. But it's not something that I'm watching regularly throughout all the seasons or anything like that. What about you? Is that one that you've seen?
I'm aware of it. I've seen an episode of it back when it started. Didn't it show up and then it was gone again? Maybe it was only that way in my mind.
That's right.
Isn't, at least here and there, isn't Jennifer Coolidge on that show? I'm a big Jennifer Coolidge fan. I find she's pretty quirky. She played Stifler's mom in American Pie. She's in a lot of the...
I think so. Yeah, I'm trying...
The Christopher Guest movies, like Mighty Wind and things like that.
Yeah.
But I find her pretty quirky. I think she's in that show. I know... Oh, the actress from Thor is in there, right?
Yes, yeah. So, you know, this is the wonderful thing about having...
You've got the computer in front of you.
That's right. So, Kat Dennings is
Thor,
the girl from Thor. And yes, Jennifer Coolidge,
okay,
who is also in Legally Blonde. And
Legally Blonde. That probably should have been where I went before American Pie. Sorry. So I've heard people enjoy it. Again, I'm not hugely into the sitcoms, but...
Sure.
That's... it's more of a preference thing.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it's one that, you know, I'll sit there and watch. Like, if I have a Saturday night that I'm not doing anything, they'll usually run the marathon on, like, TBS or something like that, you know, where they do 4 or 5 in a row. And, you know, I'll usually put it on for that. Odd Couple, 9:30 to 10.
This is, a Matthew Perry's, like, 100th attempt at a comeback?
Yes. Yeah.
Haven't watched it. No real interest. I can't. The Odd Couple, for better or worse, it's Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau to me. Like, it's one of those things I don't have much interest in revisiting. For one thing, so many shows or so many ideas and comic ideas are just The Odd Couple.
Right.
You know, like, whether it's called The Odd Couple or not, to be fair, everything that Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon did after The Odd Couple was The Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple, yeah.
So, it's one of those things that's been kind of beat to death. It may be funny, I don't know, but it's hard to imagine those two guys when I think so much and if not then, the TV show versions.
I think you're right. I've enjoyed some Matthew Perry stuff, but for the most part, you know, I just haven't gotten into this one. And then Scorpion from 10 to 11. This one has always looked intriguing to me, but I have never actually sat down and gotten into
Scorpion. This is going to be terrible when I'm actually asking what the show is and then for me to follow up and say I like it. But just to verify, because a few years ago we had so many different CIA and kind of around the same time Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was showing up, these group of really smart, intelligent people who form a team. Is this the one with Robert Patrick?
This is the one with Robert Patrick, yes.
Yes, this is a pretty good show. It's a fun show. It's not
serious Criminal Mind type.
Yeah, but even within the concept of its premise, it isn't extremely serious. It is silly. It feels very episodic.
Okay.
You watch these characters. There's a feel of something almost like Numbers or something like that.
Okay,
remember the show Numbers? Like
I love Numbers.
Yeah, so this is that mixed with a little bit of that team, A-team kind of vibe.
Sure.
It's not very 80s-esque, but it's a fun show. It's a show that I think is designed, like a lot of shows on some of these networks. Well, HBO and a lot of other programming, particularly the pay cable route, tell long ongoing stories because it had to keep your attention. Whereas it feels like a lot of stuff on network, from CSI to some of these other shows or Elementary, they're fine with being episodic because they want to run as long as they can, and they aren't. If they lose your attention, they'll replace it with something else next season. So Scorpion is that a little bit, but it's usually fun when I watch it. And to be fair, it seems to, because I catch it so sporadically, seems to have a bit of an ongoing story, but the story is clearly secondary.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you're into that kind of show, if you like ensemble action spy shows, I think it's perfectly fine.
Nice. Awesome.
You can quote me on that. Perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. So, again, we're still on Monday. We're heading into the CW now, which, to me, this really begins. This is the highlight of my week right here, Supergirl. And this
the
season...
The CW shows are the highlight of your week, or Supergirl is the highlight of your week?
The CW is the highlight of my week.
Their superhero lineup.
Their superhero lineup, yeah. So Supergirl, it started just this past Monday.
So you saw it, right?
I saw it.
So let's talk about it without too many spoilers, because I did see that and I have some comments on it. Okay. What did you think?
I don't think it's too much to say or too much to give away with all the trailers and stuff. Superman made his appearance on this.
To be fair, he's appeared before, but just his feet.
Correct. or his silhouette.
His silhouette, right. He was the silent side character.
That's right.
He was there, and we knew he was there because it would be weird for him not to be acknowledged.
Yes.
But you're right. They introduced him.
They introduced him in the flesh. You could see him very clearly. He interacted with Supergirl.
As an actor who's playing him.
Yes. And I really, really enjoyed this.
Me happy to hear that, because I think when we did our first show, or when we one of our previous episodes, I think you were talking about how you're still kind of stuck on Tom Welling not being Superman, whether it be in Batman versus Superman or here.
Yes.
And that's kind of, it seems like the guy had some work to win you over, so.
He did, and actually I'm fairly fairly familiar with this guy, Tyler Hoechlin. He had a run in Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, he's I've seen him in some other stuff too.
Yeah.
And he's definitely giving, just like everyone else in Supergirl, and actually everyone else in the CW universe, he's definitely just contributing to that young hotness version of the superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a more mature Superman or anything like that. He's a younger kind of a guy.
What was interesting is that they actually addressed that. He's a younger guy, and Joy and I were talking when they first introduced him. She's like, okay, he's supposed to be like theoretically 12 years older than she is. So how are they dealing with this? Or at least age-wise. She's actually technically age-wise older than
he
is.
But she was in the Phantom Zone. Right. Yeah.
And so he grew faster. But, you know, they talked about it. And he was like, well, my Kryptonian blood keeps me from aging here on Earth. So
yeah, that was... And they, I wouldn't say they talked about it. They excused it away with a line. Well, but I'm fine with that. That was okay. Yeah.
But the fact that they at least addressed it showed that they were thinking about it.
I think he's an interesting take because he is not... I mean, to be fair, he's not exactly the square-jawed superhero version of Superman you often see. I mean, I think the thing I like most about him is that he is playing the line between Clark Kent,
yes,
and Superman, Kal-El, in a way where the lines blur a little bit. And it's kind of like most of the people dealing with him, there isn't this huge deal made. There seems to be less of a deal made with his difference between Clark Kent and Superman than it's made with Kara and,
yes,
Supergirl.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, instead of this deal where he plays them as two completely different human beings, two different people,
right,
it's more like we just have this idea that people, for whatever reason, can't recognize that when the glasses are off,
right,
Superman, but he isn't making this huge effort to be two completely different people.
Right.
Which I think is a very different take or approach to it than we've seen on any of the other Superman movies. Really, the Christopher Reeve version, he was completely like two different people.
Yes.
And in the comics, to be fair, a lot of times it was too. So I think it's an interesting because he doesn't seem to be doing too much different. Like,
yeah,
we don't see a bumbling Clark Kent,
yeah,
versus a super confident Superman.
The closest it reminds me to is Dean Cain.
I was going to say, yeah. And that kind of makes sense. And Cain, of course, is on the show.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
We're not sure where he is. And no spoilers there. We really don't know where he is. He plays Kara's father.
Yes.
Who's MIA right now. But I enjoyed the episode. I liked the first season. Have you seen? Did you watch the first season of Supergirl?
I did. Yes, watched it all the way
through. So I thought that this was a nice return. I really enjoy what they're doing, and I like that they brought Superman in and that they're building him into the world. And I'm curious to see how she'll end up interacting with the others, and we'll talk more about that when we get to the Flash.
Sure.
Not that she showed up there this season, but there's definitely a sense where this is a lighter show and a different demographic.
Yeah.
I even enjoy Calista Flockhart's character to a degree. They can push her a little too much sometimes. But from what I understand, Flockhart's not going to be in as near as many episodes. So I think Cat Grant's going to be receding a little bit. Like,
sure,
she'll be there, but receding, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say about Supergirl, I'm enjoying it. I felt like the Luthor stuff with Lana Luthor and stuff, that felt very contrived. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to get Lex into this world, like, though Lex himself doesn't show up.
Right.
And hopefully they'll make amends for Batman versus Superman when Lex does show up. So I think Lex will be like Superman was in season one.
Yeah.
Or we won't see him, but we'll hear about him. Who was the villain they introduced at the very end? They say the name and my children started screaming.
It was...
I missed it completely.
Metallo.
I thought it was Metallo, but I just... they said something and heard...
Yeah.
It could have been Marshmallow for all that I know. It's funny to watch the show with my kids because Johnny, he's four now, so he's at the point where he's starting to put things together and he's like... And of course with Supergirl, they're very open about the fact that she's Supergirl and Kara.
Yes.
Whereas I thought it was interesting, there was one scene, and Johnny missed it because he had gone to the kitchen to get something, where Superman opens his shirt, or Clark opens his shirt up, and you see the S.
Yes.
But other than that, they don't really go back and forth. So after the first 5 or 6 minutes of the show, Johnny's like, you know the guy who's playing Clark Kent? Daddy, he looks just like Superman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here's why.
That's right.
I don't know how you got this far without knowing this, being my son. But let's recap.
Let's educate you.
Yes, yeah.
No, that's funny. Yeah, and I mean, for Monday night, you know, it's kind of funny. The way Joy and I do this is we DVR everything. So we'll go and we'll start with The Big Bang Theory, and then we watch that, and then we go back, watch Supergirl, and then we move into our third show on Monday is Timeless, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know... Timeless is on NBC. It's on from 10 to 11. The first episode aired last Monday, the second one this past Monday. Did not see the second one, But I did see the first one.
Because people may not know this because it is a brand new show.
Yeah. So Timeless, it's based on this idea that a time machine has been built. Actually, several of them have been built. And the newest model was stolen and used to go back in time to for what our heroes understand change history. And they think for the worse. And so a group is assembled to go back and chase after the first group who went back in time. And as it unfolds, you know, we find out that their initial thoughts of why the group is there trying to do these things is not what our heroes think it is, or at least the one major heroine of the story. Am I making any sense in this podcast?
Yeah, the thing is, we've seen a lot of time travel shows over the years. They tend to get caught somewhere along the line as they're going through, mm-hmm. because sometimes people just lose interest. It gets convoluted. They have a lot of time travel shows, either they're on right now or that are coming out.
Yeah.
They've remade Time After Time, which was a story where Jack the Ripper takes H.G. Wells' time machine and goes into, like, present-day New York. There was a movie made in 1984 with Malcolm McDowell and David Warner. David Warner played Jack the Ripper. Malcolm McDowell was H.G. Wells. And when he got to the present day, he met up with Mary Steenburgen, and there was a whole adventure. This is before Mary Steenburgen had Time Travel Adventures of Christopher Lloyd.
Right.
So that's coming back on television. There's Frequency. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It's on CW, which is based off the Dennis Quaid and Jim Caviezel movie, where through this ham radio, the father and son are able to talk to each other across a gulf of years, and that becomes a form of time travel. And then the Timeless is just much more upfront about it, really.
Yeah.
The thing I think is interesting is that maybe we didn't quite cover is that when they're going back into time so far in the first couple of episodes, they've gone back. We're talking about big, pivotal historical moments.
Yes.
And not all of them would be seen as the kind of thing you may want history to actually have done.
Right.
For example, the Hindenburg is really at the pivot of the first episode.
Yeah.
And there's the question of, okay, we know the Hindenburg burned down, the big disaster. Mm-hmm. So the question is, are the people who are going back in time to mess with time, are they trying to prevent the Hindenburg from blowing up or not? And then if that's the case, then it means that our heroes are potentially trying to ensure that disasters happen or the potentially devastating things happen. It's not going to be the gist of every episode, but the second episode, one of the other episodes, gets into a history issue where they go in time, and one of the major characters is African-American, and they're dealing with Lincoln, and some things pop up with him. And I think this is it's a pretty stupid show at some level, like in terms of like the plot and the time travel mechanics are not intended to be smart. We're not trying to talk about something really deep here. This is goofy, like pulp dime store sci-fi. But when I say stupid, I really mean that in an endearing way, not in a bad way. I think the show is fun. I think it has a kind of matinee adventure gist to it. It has a tone of a TV show like Warehouse 13 or something like that. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Exactly.
In fact, a lot of I feel like Timeless, if it fails here, Sci-Fi should keep an eye out, because this is a perfect thing for them to pick up and move. Hopefully it'll be successful. I mean, they have 12 Monkeys, another time travel show that's actually pretty good. And I enjoy this. I can see it unraveling as it goes forward.
Yeah.
But I think I enjoy the leads. Yep. I enjoy their interaction. I like the concept.
Yep.
It's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I really enjoyed it. It was enough to, you know, again, this is one that we've DVR'd, so it's enough to, you know, keep me coming back and watching.
I'm pretty, critical, too, of those, if you can't tell because I called it stupid already.
Right.
But of those time travel shows, because they can be very lazy sometimes.
Sure.
But I think that this show is definitely, the things it's doing is doing on purpose.
Sure.
It's not interested in being this thoughtful, theoretical take on on time travel. It's not really that much about time travel. It's to have fun adventures in the past, drudge up some history, make you think a little bit here or there about some things. But
yeah,
it's just meant to be a fun show.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So that was NBC 10 to 11 Timeless. Jumping back to the CW real quick, 9 to 10. I've never watched this. I never intend on watching it. It's just not my cup of tea. Jane the Virgin.
They really market the heck out of this thing, but I've not seen it.
Yeah. To our listeners, if you watch it and you like it, please feel free to comment and maybe you will persuade me. Nothing really on after 10 o'clock on the CW. Going to Fox, again, Monday night Fox, 8 to 9. You have Gotham. Gotham, I've seen a couple episodes here and there, but it just really hasn't grabbed and sparked me.
Gotham has, like, kept an audience, though. I'll give it that. I'm not one of its audience members. I'm not terribly interested in it. I really picked my way through the first season, and it was kind of a slog for me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy some of what they're doing with some of the characters. I kind of like their take on the Penguin. Mm-hmm. It very well may be an interesting show. It may have gained enough momentum now. Batman or young Bruce Wayne is getting a little bit older, and those characters are developing. I hit a wall at one point, and I haven't gone back, and I've not heard anything. It has its own little clutch of fans, to be sure. But it just never intrigued me.
Yeah, no, and I'm the same way. And I think it's in its, what, third season now?
It is its third season. I mean, it's one of those things where I may actually consider just checking a few episodes out because there have been shows like that. There was one I'll be mentioning here shortly that was like that. I watched the first season, kind of plucked my way through. I didn't care about it, and then it went on. And then by the time it was getting to like its fourth or fifth season, I was like, maybe there's something here. Maybe I should go back because we're all... By all rights, this is a show I should love. You know, it's Gotham. It's Gotham City. It's Batman. It is trying to have a more emphasis on the criminal element. It's drawn Batman a little bit. There's some noir stuff going on. It has great production values. It should be a show I absolutely love. And I'm just not entirely... I kind of know why, because I think part of it is it just feels so mundane. It's not embracing its comic book. Or at least it wasn't when I was watching it.
Right.
So I may go back, but I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. 9 to 10 is Lucifer. I think this is its second season. I haven't seen this one, although I've got to say the trailers, the previews that I see on TV have intrigued me. Have you checked this one out?
I've watched an episode of it. And anyone who's probably listening to me on here knows that I'm not like that knee-jerk guy that's like, it's about the devil!
Right.
It's about a positive view of the devil!
Right.
It just, we've seen that kind of thing before.
Yeah.
That kind of take. It's another excuse to have the kind of dashing, dapper character. I think it is kind of a weird, even if you're just taking this Lucifer character as clearly the one derived from Dante, I mean, the people who made this have no spiritual bone to pick.
Right.
But it just feels so ridiculous as a show. Like they aren't even consistent with the concept of this character. He's the devil, but he's just a dashing guy who ultimately wants to do good. It's some of the same problems I have with Deadpool. They want to have this edgy concept of a character, but the end of the day, he's just a hero.
Yeah.
And you're not really delving into questions of good and evil and the land in between those two. And how narrow that bridge really is. And those are all things that could be explored through a show that made Lucifer the main character. But this is just a joke.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it is.
Fair enough. So finally, NBC, we have 8 to 10 before Timeless comes on. The Voice. This is one that... The Voice, for whatever reason, is one that I actually enjoy watching.
I always get excited because when I hear The Voice, I forget that it's that singing competition show. And I think it might be some kind of supernatural narrative show.
Hysterical.
And I'm like, oh, wait. Every time I'm like, wait. It's just like, it's been on for like 6 years now.
See, and I enjoy... this is a show that I will actually watch the blind audition. So the very first round of it, I'll watch. And then I really don't care how it ends. Like, my curiosity and what I enjoy about this is the interaction between the judges in that first round.
That was true of a lot of people with American Idol, too. I mean, some people showed up just to laugh at the fools. But, I mean, you're right. Like, it was mostly interesting in its initial bits.
Yeah.
We watched The Voice on and off because at one point, Jen, back when she was at a point where she was going to physical therapist, her physical therapist was actually on The Voice one day. And we were like, oh, look. Because he had been talking about it. So, I appreciate it. I think it's a kind of a novel idea.
Sure.
And it... there's lots of different things that are cool about it.
Right.
But yeah, for some reason, I always see that pop up for each new season. I'm like, the voice, what is... Oh, it's that.
That's funny. So moving into Tuesday...
we're only on Tuesday.
We're only on Tuesday.
Pick up the pace here.
Yeah, we'll get there. All right, so ABC, let me go through the lineup real quick, and then we'll kind of hit these. ABC, 8 o'clock, you have The Middle. 8:30, new show, American Housewife. 9 o'clock, Fresh Off the Boat. 9:30, The Real O'Neills, and then 10 to 11, Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Middle, I'll just say real quick from my end, it's a show that Joy has kept up with and watched consistently. I'll just kind of pop in and out of episodes here and there, but it's not one that I just watch straight through.
This lineup used to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Some of these shows have gone to other nights. The Middle... Of those others, I've caught episodes of The Real O'Neills and Off the Boat. No, thank you on either one of them. I see what they're going for. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. But The Middle's cute. I mean, you're right. Like, if it's on... I've seen Jen, like, binge watch some, like, episodes in syndication. It's a little too much for me, but it's okay. Now, how about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Are you watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know, I'm not. Part of me is disappointed that I'm not, because I was actually thought it was a great idea the way that they were interweaving the Marvel movies in with the show. So I actually like that concept. I like that idea, but I didn't. I just never stayed with it.
It was very plodding. I mean, it just... the energy level on that show particularly. Like, I love Clark Gregg.
Yeah.
But... and I liked the idea of having Coulson, you know, kind of front and center, obviously. And I'm sure he's still great on the show, but it just really sags. The storytelling in particular is very herky-jerky.
Yep.
And this is only speaking for two seasons, but... It didn't embrace anything of the comics to me. Like, it didn't embrace that energy and that fun of the comics. It just felt like homework almost. Like, here's your Marvel Universe homework.
Right.
enjoy it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, last week when we were discussing comics, I learned, and I didn't realize, that Ghost Rider's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. A different, younger version of the Ghost Rider. But even that is not enough to really make
entice me.
Yeah. It just that's not one I even consider going back to. Like, I go back to Gotham first, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough. So American Housewife actually looks interesting to me. It's got Diedrich Bader as the father, who was in the Drew Carey show.
Yes, and in Napoleon Dynamite. You wouldn't want to get a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these.
Yes.
Actually
played the voice for Batman in The Brave and the Bold.
Yes.
So,
it's done a lot of stuff, a lot of voice work.
Yeah. So, you know, it looked funny. I'm definitely interested in checking out the first one of this. You know, it seems like one of those, you know, off-color American families. And I tend to enjoy shows like that, so... CBS on Tuesday night, you have NCIS Bull, which is a new show, and then NCIS New Orleans.
Did you say Bolt?
Bull, B-U-L-L.
Bull, okay.
Which I have not heard anything about Bull. Is that one that you've heard of?
No.
And for time's sake, we'll skip it. If you've seen it, let us know. CW Tuesday, The Flash. Now, this is the highlight of my week show wise.
Yeah, it's come back strong.
Yep.
Given how much stuff we have to talk about, one that we could probably just talk about these most recent two episodes forever. But it's probably, I don't want to go into too many spoilers because maybe people haven't caught up with them yet. But I think it's probably pretty well known now that without going into why, that The Flash has delved into this Flashpoint storyline.
Yes.
Which involves Barry Allen essentially changing everything.
Yes.
And the Flashpoint storyline in the comics was used to kind of grandfather in some characters that have been out on the fringes, like with Vertigo comics, like Swamp Thing and Constantine and stuff like that. And here, I don't know for certain, but it feels like they might be trying to do that to grandfather in Supergirl. And because it was seemed to be determined that she was in a different... parallel universe to Barry Allen, and by default to Arrow as well. If they've managed to do that, however, and they're all in the same universe now, that also means they have Superman.
Yes.
So that's probably even the bigger news there, is now we have one of the A-list guys with all of these second-tier kind of characters. But all that aside, because I don't even really care about all that stuff that much. I mostly love The Flash because of the characters. Yes. I mean, The Flash could literally not be The Flash and be a different... Because I'm no... He's a guy who runs fast. I mean, I have no solidarity to the character of The Flash. When I heard they were making again, I was like, oh, well, maybe they'll have a few callbacks to the John Wesley Ship show, which they do. Yes, they do. Ship is on there, and he's back as
Jay Garrick.
As Jay Garrick, which I love. But this is a show where you like the characters. You like all the characters. You legitimately are interested in what they're doing. But at the same time, even as you like them, Barry Allen is not a perfect guy. He does some really stupid, selfish things.
Right.
Not out of a place of malice, but just because he's a younger guy, he's still figuring things out. And that's very evident in this new season where he has messed with the timeline. And in a way where they seem like they're really committing to it. The second episode really kind of shows how he's thrown the lives of his friends and family into a certain amount of disarray. But they don't even know it.
Right.
They know something's wrong. They know he's done something. But only some of them know what's going on.
Yes.
And there are some things happening that I think are going to shake the show up some this year, which is good. Yeah. I will say there's two things. This is a very, very minor spoiler, but we're already into that momentum of having a villain who seems to just go around amassing bag. He's like reverse. He's not like reverse Flash.
Right.
He's like reverse Zoom. Yeah. And the fact that so far, whereas Zoom was taking people and stealing their powers, but dropping them off to fight Barry, this guy seems to be giving people powers, who maybe have powers in the alternate timeline that Barry created. And he is a character, Alchemy, from the comic books. Yeah. We don't really know who he is yet. But I will say with The Flash, I like... Yeah, comics always have the big bad, so to speak, the bad guy of the whole season. But I'm starting to wonder if Flash really needs that. Do we really need to have a bad guy that we spend the whole season building up to fight him? You know, I think that we're getting to a point in The Flash where maybe the story could be propelled by other things. Certainly, I think the relationship between he and Iris and the relationships that are splintered because of what he did in time are far more compelling than Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
Not that you don't need that, but I would rather see if Alchemy's introduced, I'd rather Alchemy be a villain for like 5 to 6 episodes, not for an entire season.
Well, and I think one of the things that they've done well that I have enjoyed is that while they're the villain of the season, so you have Reverse Flash, then you had Zoom, now it's Alchemy, or seemingly so, Alchemy. One of the things that I have enjoyed is that the villains they're not in there all the time. You get spurts of them at the beginning. Then they kind of disappear. Then you get spurts of them in the middle, and then they disappear.
Yeah,
and
they tend to be build of a character arc. But I think the trick here is 2 seasons now. Again, if you haven't caught up with the 2 seasons...
Sorry.
There's going to be a little bit of minor spoilers.
Right.
But for 2 seasons now, we've had that plot line of the guy we think is our friend, but is really the bad guy.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see them play that card again. If they do that again, it's going to start to feel a little stale.
Yeah.
Like, if they got away with it twice, mostly because of kind of playing with the Jay Garrick concept.
Yes.
That gave them some latitude. They got to have their cake and eat it, too. That's fine. All Earth 2 helped a little bit too. The one thing that's missing so far, we've only had 2 episodes, his name is thankfully still in the credits. I want to see Tom Cavanaugh come back because he's by far one of my favorite things about the show.
Episode 3 does show him in there.
And so I'm wondering though who we're going to get, because we've had Harrison Wells, who was not Harrison Wells, who was Eobard Thawne.
Right.
And then we had Earth 2 Harrison Wells. And so now we potentially could have Harrison Wells.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to him coming back to the show. I thought he had some great chemistry. But at the same time, I don't think we're done with Earth 2 Harrison Wells.
Right.
Because of Jesse Quick.
Correct.
So I'm liking what they're doing with I like the Kid Flash stuff that they kind of teased. They've got some interesting stuff going on with Cisco and Caitlin and stuff like that. Just a great cast. I think they're going to... What I am curious about, though... And I think we can maybe even abandon the structure a little bit and talk about some of the other stuff. Like, I watched the first episode of Arrow. Arrow's slightly better than it was last season.
I heard that.
It seems like they're trying to discard some stuff and get back to some basics. But we're still unclear of how much Flash has actually changed the world of Arrow. Right. And we're still, I'm still trying to figure out if the world of Arrow...
Yes.
...that's happening on Wednesday night, or whenever it's happening, is the same world, because I haven't caught the second episode yet, as what the Flash has done. That Barry Allen is now living in this world where things have been changed.
Right.
He talks with Felicity.
Yes.
You know, that was kind of contrived. But, you know, he has this back and forth where he's explaining right. all the things that are different. And we realize that Diggs no longer has a daughter.
Right.
He has a son. But I don't think I've noticed anything in the first episode of Arrow, and certainly I don't know in the second, where I know whether or not Diggs has a son or a daughter, right. like in this timeline. So that is a question I think would be interesting. It's going to affect everything, but is it really going to ripple through? Are some of the changes that are happening on Arrow because of what Barry Allen did? I guess
right.
we'll find out. And that may be true, too, of Supergirl. I just don't think right. I know yet. It might be a more, they could play it up for big shocks, or they could play it up sort of
right.
more subtly, which I think would be more interesting.
Right. Well, and honestly, you know.
And Draco Malfoy
yes,
is now,
he is now there.
I kind of liked that. I was like, oh, Tom Felton's here.
Yes.
I like Tom, so.
Playing what seems to be a similar character to Draco Malfoy.
Well, he doesn't like Barry. We don't know why. But
right.
knowing the Flash, they'll get into that. And I think that'll... I'm kind of excited because it'd be kind of fun to see someone else besides Joe for him to sort of play off
yeah.
of in that. And, you know, he had Eddie in the
yes.
first season. But
yep. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So after Flash, we have No Tomorrow, which is a new show.
I've seen this. I've seen the first episode of it.
Good, bad, ugly?
It's kind of middle of the road. Like the concept, the style of the show is going for something kind of quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Quirky in the same, like, not in the same way because I really like these shows, but something like Dead Like Me or
okay.
a show that is just kind of like off the wall, Pushing Daisies. I'm
yeah.
mentioning all these Brian Fuller shows, and it kind of feels like it wants to be Brian Fuller, but isn't really able to commit to that. And the concept
sure.
is that this girl meets this guy, he's this wonderful, you know, he's everything she's looking for, but he basically acts the way he does because he's certain that the apocalypse is going to happen.
Right.
And if the show progresses and he really is invested in the apocalypse happening and he has specific thoughts about it, that might add some interest. But right now, it's almost like trying way too hard to be kind of hip and silly and kind of quirky. It wasn't a bad episode, but it was definitely this show that just skimmed right off the surface. It was kind of like enough is enough already. I'm like,
sure.
okay, it didn't capture me. And when I heard the premise, I thought it might. It just didn't go weird enough for my taste.
Okay, fair enough. So then we move into Fox. We have Brooklyn Nine-Nine from 8 to 8:30, New Girl 8:30 to 9, and Scream Queens from 9 to 10.
Show I've completely missed, and I wouldn't be opposed to watching because I know that the first season had a whole bunch of younger actresses and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
I don't even know what's going on with the show the second season. I should probably catch up with that. I mean, I like horror. I like horror comedy.
Right.
It seems like something would be in my wheelhouse. Just never saw it.
Yeah. No, same here. I will say this, though, in my defense. To me, Fox is it's kind of the least appealing network out of all of them in terms of what's being offered. So I
yeah,
just kind
I mean,
of pass over that a lot
I'm probably
of times.
Jumping days here, but the only new show I've seen, I think, that's on Fox is The Exorcist. Now, you've probably watched, does Fox have Lethal Weapon or MacGyver?
They do. Lethal Weapon and, Lethal Weapon.
But, so, and we can get to The Exorcist when we get to Friday, but that's the only show I've seen on Fox. I know what you mean. I don't think that they have Gotham, but Fox doesn't really seem to get really interesting shows. A part of that, I think, is because of its history with how it's treated really interesting shows. It doesn't really know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Case in point, Firefly, and you know many other shows over the years. I think I'm not sure if they. You know, we were talking about the show Lucifer. I'm not sure if they had it. I think it was Fox had it. There was a show called Brimstone back in the day, in like the late '90s, with Peter Horton that and John Glover played the devil, and
okay.
He was a cop who had gone to hell, and the devil broke him out of hell because he had to send him out and catch all these other jailbreaks from hell. So he was, it was like a battle-hardened cop show, but he was recollecting people and sending them back to hell. They did another show like that called Reaper a few years later that was more comedy, where Ray Wise played the devil. But I don't think that Fox has a good track record with shows that are kind of original and interesting. You know, keeping them on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, even stuff like the Briscoe County Jr.
Yes.
Case in point, stuff that lasts like a season or two. So I'm not surprised that some of the more interesting stuff doesn't seem to be on Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. So then going to NBC, and it figures my computer would do this. NBC, I know starting off, there's The Voice. So, you know, you catch up on Tuesday. NBC, you have The Voice, and then This Is Us and Chicago Fire. The only thing I really want to say about this, This Is Us actually looks really appealing. It's been getting great reviews. And so it's something that I'm really interested in seeing. The basic premise that kind of makes it unique from a lot of the other things is that the characters, all the main characters, have the same birthday. So it all focuses on these characters who have the same birthday and their lives. So I am interested in seeing that
Is this a like half-hour sitcom? Or
It's an hour-long, like...
Like a dramedy or something?
Yeah, exactly. So moving into Wednesday, ABC's lineup real quick, The Goldbergs, Speechless.
I love The Goldbergs.
I actually have gotten into Speechless, which I've been really enjoying with Minnie Driver.
Yes, I've seen the first episode. Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was a nice pair up with The Goldbergs and a good show. Again, a show where the characters are likable to a degree. I mean, it's not a mean-spirited show.
Yeah.
The same could be said of The Goldbergs. I think that's a nice pair up.
Yeah. I think it's either in the first or second episode, you know, the father's trying to explain to the daughter their lot in life. And, you know, he's like, we're idiots. We're not jerks.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good distinction between when you usually got me with a show or when you don't have me. You're an idiot, but not a jerk.
Right. So then 9 o'clock, Modern Family, 9:30, Blackish. And then 10, Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland, which looks so good.
It looks compelling. I haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, same here. So CBS, you have Survivor, Criminal Minds, Code Black.
Wow, that's just a whole night full of crap.
Yeah. Criminal Minds, I've enjoyed throughout the years on
Criminal
and off.
Criminal Minds was just too much for me. Like, I remember Mandy Patinkin leaving after the first season saying, this is just over the top, it's too grotesque,
right.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And it just went off the rails after that. Yeah. I mean, what happened in season one was nothing compared to... I will say over the years, they've had some interesting characters come on there and play serial killers or unsubs. You know, Tim Curry had a really creepy run on there at one point. But overall, it's just too much to me.
I mean,
for network television, too, it's like, it's just so... I mean, it gets downright creepy and gross
at times. Yeah, it is. So CW, again, strong lineup. You've got The Arrow and Frequency. The Arrow, just to recap, you know, you said that's taken a little bit of a different direction than it had in...
Well, I could see the first episode attempting to sort of kind of step back a little bit.
Sure.
But there's a couple things I don't want to get into because this will be spoilers for anyone who's not watching it.
Yeah.
There are a couple of plot points, something specifically dealing with a character... that something very extreme happened with that character in last season. I mean, technically, the character's not on the show now. But anytime you do flashbacks where you retcon something a little bit, like there's this... just wasn't really a fan of it. So there, even in that first episode, there were things where I'm like, if they push on this, it's going to really irritate me.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced that they've got it all back together. But at least it seemed like a step back to try to embrace some of those things that made the first couple seasons good.
Okay. And then Frequency, you said you saw and you enjoyed that.
I really like this. I love the movie Frequency.
Yes.
I think that even though it is a movie that has a following, I still think it's a little underrated. Not a lot of people know about it. Great movie, Jim Caviezel and Dennis Quaid. Like I said, due to some kind of freakish thing with the Aurora Borealis or lightning or something, the father and the son can communicate across time. And his dad's been dead for years. So he hasn't. It's like a lost relationship that he's reconnecting with him. But in the movie... He does something, he's able to, just by giving certain information to his father, save his father, so that he doesn't die in the fire.
Yes.
You know, that's basically up front the beginning of the movie. But right. when he saves his father, it creates two divergent lines of memories that he has yes. now. One where he does, I mean, he remembers his father. His father still dies right. of cancer or something years later, but right. he doesn't die in a fire. So he has memories of him being there for him as a kid. But now other things have changed.
Right.
And now there's actually a threat that they have to neutralize in these two different time frames. That's essentially kind of what's happening in the new frequency, but it's using a jumping off point of that movie to explore a lot of different stuff. And my first thought with Frequency and with a show like 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi, how are you going to take this very contained kind of sci-fi time story and make something that can exist seasons?
Yeah.
And they're doing that with Frequency. Even in the first episode, you can see them laying the groundwork.
Hmm.
And the Peyton List, the actress who's playing, because now they've switched gender a little right. bit, it's a girl and her father. Right. And they're still communicating across the ham radio, which was such a great idea.
Yes.
And a really beautiful picture, I think, in the movie. They're capturing that here, and you like, again, you like these characters. You're intrigued to see where it's going. I think it's going to get kind of crazy. I hope it holds together, but I'm really looking forward to it. I would say, even though I was thumbs up on Timeless, I like what's happening with Frequency a lot better. And between Frequency and The Flash and Timeless, you know, playing with as many paradoxes as you can yes. get your hands on, I think this is a really good show. And to me, I would skip Arrow and tune into Frequency. I mean, okay. that's probably what I'll be doing.
Sweet. So then we move on to Fox. So you have Lethal Weapon, Empire. Empire is... show, what is it, second or third season, and it's all about the music.
It is. It's King. It began. It's moved away from that a little bit, but it was King Lear originally. Okay. It was a very weird, twisty version of King Lear. This is a show. A lot of my coworkers love this show. I've watched a little bit of it here and there. There's a lot of actors. Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard really chew up the scenery on this show. Yeah. I mean, you could watch it and enjoy it just for them. It's a show that goes back and forth. It's very soap opera-ish in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, but they know their audience, and they are, I mean, you'll watch it sometimes, and it's now, I'm sitting here talking about all these shows where you just like these people. They're likable. They're not a lot of likable people
right.
on this show. Right. There's not, you kind of just wait to see what next terrible thing are they going to do. It's right. Those dysfunctional family kind of dramas, but,
yeah,
I can see why it's popular, and it's not uninteresting.
Sure,
I'll say that. What was it? Lethal Weapon? Have you Lethal watched Weapon. Any of that?
I have. I've actually enjoyed it. I feel like to a certain extent, it's hard for me to picture Damon Wayans in that same role as Danny Glover, that aging police officer who, you know, I'm getting too old for this. Because I always picture Damon Wayans as, you know, Major Payne and, you know, Blank Man and some of those other crazy
yeah,
roles.
Blank
but
Man.
But I feel like...
Homie the Clown.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we don't play that. I feel like he does a good job, though, and I really
I've
am enjoying
good,
the chemistry between the two characters.
I can see how Lethal Weapon would work as a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it took a long time to get there.
Right,
yeah. And weird coming off of they just did Rush Hour, which I watched like 20 minutes of that. It was awful.
Yeah.
But,
No, I've enjoyed Lethal Weapon, and, you know, I hope it keeps going. I've thought it's been great. And then finishing off Wednesday lineup, you have Blind Spot on NBC. Sorry, Wednesday on NBC. Blind Spot, Law & Order, SVU, and Chicago PD.
Is Blind Spot in its second season?
It is in its second
yeah,
season.
Yeah, I saw... That was an interesting show. I saw a few initial episodes.
Yep.
It was cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, but it did look intriguing. So I'm hoping I can get caught up with that at some point. So moving into Thursday's lineup, ABC, you have Grey's Anatomy, Notorious, and How to Get Away with Murder. Honestly, I'm not familiar with any of these shows.
How to Get Away with Murder is a good show.
Is it?
Yes. And on that show, the actress...
it is Viola Davis.
Yes. Viola Davis is... She's a great actress. I mean, even before The Help, like, if you go back and see her in movies like the remake of Solaris in 2002 mm-hmm. and a movie called Doubt, even when she's a small role, she's a great actress. And the show is kind of anchored around her in a good way where... I'm trying to think of anything that's comparable, but it's a good mystery show that has a central character that's very appealing. It's very different from this, but a lot you see this a lot in the 80s. I mean, mm-hmm. things like it's going to be goofy for me to say this, but like Matlock and Murder, yeah, She Wrote, stuff, yeah, like that. Those are much more kind of Columbo. Those, sure, were much lighter sorts of shows, but they were shows that centered around a personality. You, yeah, watched Murder, She Wrote because of Angela Lansbury. Sure. You watched Columbo because of Peter Falk. You watch How to Get Away with Murder because of Viola Davis.
Nice. So then CBS, you have Thursday Night Football. CW, DC Legends of Tomorrow, which is airing tonight, so we haven't seen that one yet. And Supernatural. Supernatural actually was a show that I watched the entire first season. I actually enjoyed it, and I never picked up the second season. I think at that point we didn't have cable, and we didn't get cable again for like 7 or 8 years. So just never picked back up with it. So it's one that I'm hoping I'll get back into and watch.
Netflix.
Watch again.
Well, I, yeah, mentioned at the beginning of the show that there was a show that happened to me, and it was this. Supernatural. Supernatural was one of several shows. Bones was another one that came on right after I got married. Like I got married in the summer of 2005.
Yep.
And then fall 2005, I was like, wow, I can sit down with my wife and watch television.
Yeah.
This is great. And I remember that probably one of the first nights we sat down, it was Supernatural, yep, first episode, and I watched it, and I was like, this is, they're like trying to be the X-Files, they're trying to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Those shows were only recently departed from my memory, so yes, I was sort of like, it's not quite feeling, I like the idea they're doing Urban Legends. I kind of backed away, I watched a few more episodes, I was like, it just felt like it was taking a while to get going.
Mm-hmm.
They had Jeffrey Dean Morgan play the father, yep, they were looking for him, they found him, then he was gone again,
yeah,
and I just dropped it, and so when they got to around the fifth season,
mm-hmm,
and people were like, the apocalypse is happening and this and that, and it's so great. And I went back and watched it, and then Jen and I like kind of binge watched it, and it was really good. I mean, we caught up. We went through seasons 1 through 4, then we finished 5. And then 5, there are 5 seasons of a really strong, tight story arc,
mm-hmm,
that ends in a definitive way. Then they decided to keep going. And not Supernatural one of those shows that like you can kind of check where, I was saying it went off the rails, but where it became clear that they didn't know what they were doing from season to season. They'd introduced huge whole storylines, but you know, after they had fought Lucifer, where do we go? What can we do? And they, right, keep going, and then you know, even last season, God and his sister, yes, God and his sister got into a fight. And and where do you go after that? And I'm not even quite clearly sure. But I'm looking forward to, I guess I'm looking forward to watching it. I kind of like, I keep trying to bin it and I can't seem to get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get off the schedule. I really enjoy the show in its pieces. This is a show that will have, you'll think the entire storyline all season long was completely ridiculous, but it will introduce an idea or a concept or an episode that catches you. They had an episode last season, they drive around in an Impala. Mm-hmm. And last season they had, and it's a major centerpiece of the show, last season they had an episode from the perspective of the Impala, from the Impala's point of view. It basically was like what the Impala has seen through all the seasons that we've seen so far.
Interesting.
And they'll do stuff like that. They'll break the third wall sometimes, and they'll have, in the context of Supernatural, they will mock their fans, their really extreme fans. And it's a show that's still going, and it's that kind of comforting thing. I can turn it on and be like, oh, what they're doing here is ridiculous, but that's pretty funny and that's pretty, right, good. And these characters, they have a good time interacting off each other. I mean, we're on like its 12th season. I mean, it has gone longer than almost all of the Supernatural shows, yeah, I can think of. I mean, X-Files, Buffy,
yeah,
Angel, it smoked all of them. In fact, it's heading up on shows that had that more serialized kind of feel, like Murder, She Wrote, things, yeah, like that. I mean, I don't think Murder, She Wrote. I mean,
it's Murder, beaten, She Wrote, I think, all 11 of seasons, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's proved to be quite a
force to be reckoned.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah.
So then we move into Fox. We have Rosewood and Pitch. Really not familiar with either one of those.
Yeah, I'm aware of what they are, but I haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. I'd actually be, even though I'm not a sports fan, I'd be more interested in Pitch, but I haven't heard good things about it, honestly.
Okay. And then we finish off, again, Thursday night, NBC. Superstore, which has looked hilarious to me, but I have not been able to get into it. Yeah. It's just about like, it's about like a Walmart, essentially a Super Walmart, except it's not called Super Walmart, and like the dysfunctional employees that work
there. Oh, so it's not a, for some reason I was imagining a game show or a reality television show. Okay.
The Good Place, which is new this year with Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
I like Ted Danson. I like Kristen Bell.
So
wait. Doesn't that have a supernatural wrinkle too?
It's where she's like in heaven. She's not in the bad place. She's in the good place.
That's right. Okay.
All right. A comic spin on it.
I give it a try.
All yeah. Right. Yeah. Same here. Chicago Med and then The Blacklist.
Like The Blacklist. Blacklist is good.
Yeah. Blacklist is good. I've been enjoying it. I was able to catch up on season 3 before season 4 came out. And so far I've been enjoying season 4.
But very
4.
Strong. There were a couple points there where some of the storylines they were pulling together and some of the things they were playing with, I was like, how are they going to bring this together? But they've done well. And again, that's a show that benefits hugely from the fact they have James Spader.
Yes.
And that they've built a compelling
base
of characters around him.
Yeah, I will say that James Spader, primarily he is why I keep coming back to the show week after week. His presence on that show is phenomenal.
But they've built a base around him. He's without a doubt the structure.
Yes.
But I feel like he's not the only good thing about the show.
And I agree. I agree with that. Because even when he's taken out of commission in an episode, for whatever reason, the characters still hold up and are able to do their thing.
See, for me, that was something that never really quite happened with a show like 24. Like, 24 was always Jack Bauer.
Right.
And that was it.
Like, yes.
Maybe people will disagree, but to me, it was always Jack Bauer.
Yes.
And so Blacklist has a strong presence like that, but they've built a much more compelling secondary cast.
Agreed. So Friday night, we have ABC, Last Man Standing. I enjoy Last Man Standing. That's one that I'll continue to watch. You have Dr. Ken, which, Shark Tank, and 2020, which has been going on for forever. CBS, you have MacGyver, which I've actually been enjoying.
I saw the first episode. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, they've kept the formula from the first one for the most part, and I've enjoyed it. They've updated it. They've, put it in 2016.
I just didn't feel the ingenuity was as much prevalent in the episode that I saw. Like, I just felt like there was an element where it felt like your kind of generic action show with a little bit of MacGyver laid on top of it.
I would encourage you to watch 2 and 3 and let me know what you think of those. I can see what you're talking about in the first one. I think he gets more. It gets better as it goes on.
Okay.
Hawaii 5-0, which has looked appealing to me. I mean,
it's been on for a while.
Yeah, out of the reruns that have come, or not the reruns, but the reboots that have come back, this one has actually been strong and has stayed strong. So,
but it's weird too because it's one I don't really hear talked about so much. I actually didn't really realize it was still on the air until you just mentioned it.
Well, and it's, I guess it's kind of sad that it's on Friday because I feel like shows go to Friday to die.
Well, that's true in some cases, but some shows go to Friday and they stay there.
Yeah.
A good example, I think a show, though I say a good example, and they've announced it's going to be the last and final season, but I think it got about 6 seasons, was Grimm. Isn't back yet, but I don't think Grimm ever left the Friday night time slot. And it just sort of lived there. And it had a good run.
Yep.
I could be wrong. I must like, no, I don't know. Fringe. I thought Fringe, again, it's a show that did its run in
6 or 7 seasons on Fringe?
5 or 6. I think it was 5. 5 seasons. I mean, they didn't have the greatest numbers, but I think Fringe also was a Friday night show.
Yeah,
and it was,
you're right.
That's an example where Fox did see something out to its conclusion, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And I think Fringe being less seasons, struggling to always get renewed, helped it be a better show because they had to plan and they had to be prepared for it.
Cool. And then finally on CBS, you have Blue Bloods from 10 to 11.
What's on Fox on?
So Fox on Friday night, you have Hell's Kitchen and you have The Exorcist, which is one that you...
Yeah, you know what? I like this show, The Exorcist. I can see how you know, people might be ambivalent about it, particularly because we've had so many remakes. Remakes of these, like, demon things, you know.
Sure.
Where The Omen has been remade recently. Rosemary's Baby was remade, and both of those were pretty junky, in my opinion. This show is interesting. It builds off the world that existed in the movie version of The Exorcist, but it's compelling in other ways. The only thing I don't really like about it, I've seen two episodes. Gina Davis is the matriarch of the family, which was in the first episode, and you've got the priests that come in and deal with the demons. But it looks like we're getting a much more larger global view of what's really going on here. And we are starting to have a question. This was no mystery in the original movie, because what are demons there to do? They're to destroy humanity and mock God, and the servants of God are going to fight the demons, and that's kind of what happens. And Exorcist seems like it may start to look into, well, what is the real agenda of these forces, these demons?
Oh, interesting.
And Cinemax has a show called Outcast that I think we did a review of the first episode. I watched a whole season of that. That's a really neat, really cool show. Exorcist isn't trying to do everything that that show is doing, but they have this differing, the thing that's similar about them is that they're exploring a little bit more of what's going on with the people who are doing this on a daily basis. If you're fighting the devil, what does that look like? And Outcast takes one view, Exorcist takes a different view. It's interesting. I just wish they didn't do as many really cheap jump scares. In the first episode, we had like a CGI crow fly through a window for no reason at all, like just to have a jump moment. Right. And it was cheap stuff like that takes you out of a show, particularly when it's kind of firing on all the cylinders already. Yeah. So if you like horror shows, I like The Exorcist.
Yeah. Very cool. CW, this is probably their weakest night. You have Vampire Diaries, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Vampire Diaries is actually on Netflix. It's one that I've got in my queue to kind of go back and watch.
Yeah, do Supernatural first.
Okay, fair enough. And then on NBC, you have Caught on Camera with Nick Cannon. You have Grimm, and then Dateline NBC.
Is Grimm back?
Grimm is back.
Okay,
yep. Yep, Grimm is back. So Saturday, there isn't really much worth mentioning on Saturday. You have sports going on. You have Dateline Mysteries, 48 Hours. You know, for me, Saturday would be the day that all the DVR shows that I wasn't able to go back and watch, I'll watch, or, you know, the ones that are on demand. So those are your main networks, and I know we're going longer here, Nathan, but I do want to hit some of the lesser known networks, or not lesser known, but like the cable networks, the paid networks.
Right.
I'm going to start with my favorite here. Ash vs. Evil Dead on Stars. You, Greg, and I will do an Ash episode. Greg wants to be in on that. So we're going to do an Ash episode talking about all things Ash, all things Evil Dead. But, you know, let's talk about season two. Season one hit, and initially you weren't as impressed with season one, were you?
Well, so here's the thing. I love the original Evil Dead trilogy.
Yes.
It's weird because each movie is kind of different in
yes.
its own way.
Yes.
Army of Darkness, you could watch it. And Army of Darkness, although it has an R rating, it's almost close to a PG-13. Like,
yeah.
It's a silly kind of adventure movie that's making fun of, like, bad late night movies.
Yes.
I mean, and some good late night movies like Day They Stood Still, that
yes.
whole Klaatu, Barada, Nikto thing. But it's a fun kind of a movie, and I bet you Training Wheels, because a lot of people probably saw Army of Darkness before they saw the others, you know, because
yes.
I think a lot of us were probably younger when it came out.
Yes.
And I loved it. I loved The Evil Dead 2. I think Evil Dead 2 is the best of the three movies. It's just so over the top. But what's kind of brilliant, Sam Raimi realizes at some point, what happens when I put horror and the Three Stooges together? What
yeah.
happens when I make a show that
yes.
feels like you're just flipping the channels? Now, here's the thing is, the Ash Williams character in the first three movies is, he goes from being a hapless guy who just gets beat around, to being a clown that gets beat around, to just being kind of a buffoon that stumbles into things and is a hero.
Yes.
But somewhere after that original trilogy movies, which really became the cult classic where, like, you had to tell people and get them to want to see it, and you people spent so many years arguing for why you should see this and waiting for an Evil Dead 4, which never happened.
Right.
And in the meantime, Bruce Campbell would do something here or there, and he kind of, like, developed, I think he always had it, but a little bit of a hostility towards Ash as a character. Like, he's just an idiot, you know?
Yes.
And that manifests itself later. I remember seeing him in, I've mentioned this before, but went to the harbor, and he was doing My Name is Bruce.
Yes.
And then when he did My Name is Bruce, he was kind of lampooning his, like, the view of himself, and he made himself look like a complete schmuck, really. Like,
yes.
just a jerk and a joke and a washed up mess. And what's interesting is when he finally, Sam Raimi finally gets together with him and they come back and they do Ash vs. Evil Dead, he's basically the My Name is Bruce character. Yes. He's not really, the Ash Williams of the movies, it was hinted that he was kind of a, you know, he was a bit of a sleaze. And right. But I mean, those elements were only kind of hinted at in Army of Darkness. He still ultimately becomes a hero. He's a guy who has some tragic things happen to him and he fights the demons. And Bruce Campbell just goes, the first episode was like full sleaze. Yes. Like he's a complete kind of joke. He's the whole reason the demons are out again. Like he gets high and like brings things back. And I was just like, I like that. I guess it's funny, but I was kind of done with that after My Name is Bruce. I wouldn't mind seeing just a buffoon. He's a buffoon, but he's not necessarily a jerk. He's an idiot, but not a jerk. He's an idiot,
not a jerk.
This right. Ash is a jerk.
Right.
He tries not to be. But so the first season took a while for me to get going. The other thing is a half an hour. That's probably just about right.
Yes.
But you'd have an episode that would get really dark and really grim. And then it would be Ash doing something completely ridiculous. And he sometimes would go over that line too often. Like, you know, a kid would get thrown into a ceiling fan or something ridiculous. he wasn't the one throwing the kid. But, you know, he's hitting on the waitress and then he's fighting the demons. Yes. And it was just back and forth. And their texture started to arise. Again, I've been saying this all night with things. His interaction with his co-stars, the two young co-stars, like start to give him some texture and some interaction and create a character that is different from the ones that we saw in the original trilogy of movies. And then you get to this movie, or this new season, and they're going into his family and his backstory.
Yes.
And they're actually kind of tying back into what happened to him at the cabin, how it's affected him, how it stunted his life.
Yes.
And then Lee Majors is his dad. The Bionic Man is his dad, which is great. And then Lucy Lawless bringing her in and making her at least for the time being. A reluctant one, but an ally. I love that. And her interaction with him is great.
Yes.
Like, that is something I've been waiting to see since the Xena days when he would go on and be Autilicus. And then, I mean, let's just be clear, his head gets wedged in that Deadite's butt in the newest episode. I don't even feel bad about spoiling that. Like, it goes on for a bit. It's pretty graphic. Yeah. They don't shy away from the fact that he has his head. And you're looking at it, you're like, this is beyond what the show even did. And I guess there's something to be said for that, that, like, it's just over the top and it's crazy. And that's what you would kind of expect from The Evil Dead. And I mean, you know what you're getting into. I mean,
yes.
It's interesting that we've come here. It's funny because the other day, Chris and I had finally mustered up our courage to watch the last Phantasm movie. We've talked about that. And we're watching like, man, this thing is so low budget. It's a shame that like it couldn't get its own season on Stars because they're doing so much fun stuff with Ash vs. Evil Dead. It's certainly not for everyone.
Right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Greg and I, while we're doing these podcasts from about now until the end of November, Greg and I will be podcasting on and off, and we'll get together once a week just to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead. That is the show that we watch together. I'm actually the one who corrupted him.
I think now, Ash too, saga. Which is something different from last season, I think you could start to get these now on like Amazon and stuff, which wasn't, I don't think was true the first season, which is why I kind of had to wait till they do that free Stars weekend and like binge watch the whole thing.
Yes.
So you can get it, and it is 30 minutes. I mean, it was just, like I said, just about the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, I think a whole 45-minute show for Ash and Evil Dead would probably ruin the energy a little bit.
See, I think it depends on which ones, because I was thinking that this one that just ended, season two, episode two. I was thinking, man, that could have gone another 15 minutes longer in its run.
The question would be, what would be 15 minutes? Would it be 15 more minutes of him with his head up something's butt? Or would it be 15 minutes of, like, I do see what you're saying there. In the second season, seems like they're trying to explore his character.
Right.
And anytime you bring in those character dynamics, the first season had a lot of episodes that were literally like 30 minutes of like goofy scares.
Right.
And punchlines.
And I feel like the first season had a lot more generic resolutions to them. The first one this season had, I feel like, a resolution to the episode. Everything was wrapped up within the episode. The new team had formed and they were going to go out. But everything wrapped up. This one actually leaves on a cliffhanger where his car gets stolen with the Necronomicon in it, and they're just
he has a horrible time holding on to that thing for the fact that it's like the very bane of his existence. He can't, and the key to everything,
right?
And now we know that, you know, Ruby's got guy issues, right, so to speak, husband's baby daddy issues.
So I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I really, again, it's been renewed to 10 episodes like the first season was.
There is a third season coming already. Yep.
So I'm looking forward to.
I'm happy that Bruce has something to regular work again. I loved him on Burn Notice where he was the sidekick.
Yes, I enjoyed that as well. I have all 5 or 6 seasons of Burn Notice and I enjoy that one as well. So
I even watched Jack of Trades or whatever that he did back in the day where he's like in the Revolutionary War.
That's awesome. Now, Nathan, you had brought up USA. Some of the shows that are on there.
Well, USA has Mr. Robot, which is a really good show. I recommend anyone who hasn't seen it, check it out. I don't want to give too much away about it because it's a pretty unique show. Mm-hmm. I walked into it thinking it was a hacker show, but there's a lot more going on than mm-hmm. that. And then they have this new show called Falling Water, which I haven't seen, but I'm looking forward to check it out. Might review it on the weekly review. Nice. I won't say much about the next one here because I'm going to try to cover it soon. I think Jen and I are going to try to do one for Phantom Galaxy where we discuss this in more detail, but Westworld mm-hmm. on HBO is pretty, I think it has the potential to be pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Westworld was a Michael Crichton story from back in the day. Michael Crichton loves to write stories about amusement parks that go, you know, nuts. and the concept of the old show and the old movie and the new show is that it's about a theme park, a Wild West theme park that has androids in it. And those androids, you know, well, why do we need to have robots in here? Well, because if you want to be able to go into this Wild West world and do whatever you want, if you want to sleep with bar wenches and shoot people and behave like you have no limits to what you want, you'll do morally, right, you can do that. And these robots will be reprogrammed the next day and they'll go back and the girl might be murdered 3 days in a row. Somebody might get killed in a gunfight 3 days in a row. And every day they are renewed and they go back into this with no awareness it's going to happen again. Or do they? And right, so that becomes this kind of, you're exploring a lot of themes from stuff as disparate as Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And there's even...
seems like there's some Dollhouse elements in there too.
Dollhouse, you know, Dollhouse was a show that I kind of enjoyed, but Dollhouse was almost so convoluted in how it approached it. Mm-hmm. Westworld is really interesting because it's playing with genres, but it has an interesting cast. Ed Harris is in there. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, you had the evil kind of gunslinger character played by Yul Brynner was a robot. And here that Man in Black character is played by Ed Harris, who is a human being who goes into this world so he can, like, kill these people and do these things. But he also seems to have an agenda, and they're building some mystery elements. I hope that the show doesn't kind of go really crazy with where it starts building all these ideas and these mysteries, because I always get anxious because of something like Lost where it builds mysteries and never intends to answer.
Yes.
But I think it has real potential, and it has a lot of actors. I like James Marsden is in the show. Yeah. And also Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins is the creator of all this. And you get Jeffrey Wright. And so you see what's going on in the back end of the amusement park. But then you also see the sort of enclave of the Wild West setting. And I've seen 2 episodes and it's pretty darn good. I mean, it's like any HBO show, you're going to have things are going to be a little grittier, a little rougher. But texture of this is something similar to Deadwood, but with some sci-fi elements in it. So I think I'm impressed that anyone thought to bring Westworld back out of the shadows, so to speak, and that they're exploring it this way. I think it's a good move. I think this will be HBO is clearly looking for Game of Thrones is going to be ending soon.
Yeah.
What are we going? What's going to replace it? And this has potential.
Sweet. Well, we are definitely running.
We ran,
dude. This was a marathon.
Yes.
So we're gonna sign off. Just a quick reminder to our listeners: for those of you who won the contest, I'm not gonna read the names again. But please go ahead, make sure that you either message us on Facebook, message us on Twitter, or email us at cultninja@gmail.com. We just need your address so we can get those comics off to you. And go ahead and tell us which one you prefer. Remember, it's the Illuminati 1 through 5 and then the first Doctor Strange of the new series. Maybe we can go ahead and get a preference out to you if you've read one or the other or whatever. So we'll have more details on contests coming up in the future here. And I think we're ready to sign off, Nathan. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think that's it.
All right. We're going to go ahead and we'll catch you all later.
Take care.